On this week's show, IT Reality and Construction with Jennifer Homan from Baker Construction. All right, Jen, we got you on the microphone finally. I'm going to be honest, I've been chasing you since Florida. We met in Florida. I watched you speak in Florida at an ABC event, and I've been chasing you ever since. So great to get you on the microphone today.
Thank you for having me.
Not new to the podcast world, so that's always fun for us.
I co-host a podcast called The Balanced Voice. It focuses on public safety and crime here in Houston, Texas, and it's an amazing nonprofit organization where we talk about all different kinds of topics, autism and anti-sex trafficking, all kinds of things. So yeah, find us there too.
Yeah, you can find her there, and she's bigger than we are. So it's always fun when we got a bigger show, somebody with a bigger show than us. And I gave it some listen. So you guys are in for a treat. Remember, though, before we jump in, you got to go check us out on youtube.com/@thecontechcrew. I'm going to have to tell you guys, that thing's starting to go up and starting to look really good. So I got to say, I appreciate you. Follow all of our guests. Follow me. Check us out on LinkedIn and any other social where we're out there. We'd love to see you out there.
Are you tired of all the talk about solving the industry's problems and you just want to roll up your sleeves with the industry's best and brightest? Well, the CPC's returning to Denver, Colorado from April 8th to 10th for the 5th annual AEC Integration Summit. That's right, participate in one of the four teams' topics, from frictionless change orders to AI for issue resolution. Identify root causes of these shared pains and discover new approaches to solve it. Learn more at constructionprogress.org/AECI Summit 26. The problems you learn to solve could be your own. Join us there.
All right. So give us a little background. Introduce people to you.
That's a mosaic of a path or a journey. I started off, if you just look at the beginning, I was supposed to be a dentist or a doctor or three an acronym behind my name, and decided I'm a little bit rebellious. So decided that's not what I wanted to do. I found myself with one of the first Microsoft certified systems engineering certifications back in the day. That's how old I am. And so I found myself in technology, implementing networks and so on and so forth for dental offices. And then with that, I grew on and went to a company called Halliburton, most sure many know. Started there. Took like an $8 an hour job doing a back in the day PC deployment, large, you know, 75,000 computer deployment. And we were upgrading a network from token ring, an IP base. That's how old I am. I think I'm going to show my age here, Jeff. Shit. And so I stayed with Halliburton for quite a few years. It gave me my start in tech and then came up with an idea for some software. Luckily, Halliburton was an amazing employer. They blessed me along the way to go talk to Compaq Computers about my idea, then turned into Hewlett Packard. They gave me some capital to develop my software. It was based on migrations, doing mass migrations for large corporations, enterprises. Stayed there for about 5 or 6 years, met my husband, and decided I wanted to be a mom more than I wanted to be a traveling consultant and software inventor. Left Hewlett Packard, I left my original digital baby behind. Then got married, and he had a little 3-year-old boy that I fell in love with too. And so I went back to Halliburton for the second time, which was a great stint there again. Got to do all kinds of things, moved out of IT into the actual business. So I know a lot about hydrocarbons, and then wanted to go work for what we call an operator in the oil and gas world and energy. So I went to work for ConocoPhillips, and that was amazing. Totally different business model. Just an experience that, I mean, you can't, those are like golden parachutes, right? There's so much breadth and enterprise and corporate technology. You have budgets that are unbelievable that you get to spend on leading edge technology. So that was an amazing ride. Normally, you don't leave those companies. You stay around those companies for a long time. They have pensions. They have all kinds of benefits. But I finally took somebody up on their offer to become a CTO, a chief technology officer with Seadrill, large offshore drilling company, one of the biggest. And that was fun. I got to kind of put my own theories and I would say preconceived notions to test. I'd always thought a different way of leadership where you can actually enjoy being like a family with your people and your team and delivering value, but not a technologist that's focused on the techies and the gadgets and the gadgets, but focused on decreasing costs, increasing revenue, and improving margins while making sure your workforce, your coworkers are happy and enjoy the tech that you're giving them. And so I tested out those theories at Seadrill, then took a package, thought I was going to retire. My husband had been retired for quite a few years. He was enjoying his man cave in our studio outside with whiskey and cigars and World of Warcraft. And I thought I would enjoy that too. We would maybe travel in our Airstream across the country and we would retire early. I failed. If there's anything I've failed really well at, it is failing retirement. And so while I was failing retirement, I got a call from a recruiter. A company called Baker was looking for a CTO. And I thought it was Baker Hughes at first, and which is oil. And then started learning. I had some familiar contacts with who the CEO had relationships with as well. That was my first introduction to Carl Watson. And just learned more about Baker. And I just hit it off with this executive team here and my peers. And just realized that construction is a lot like energy used to be, which was gritty. It had tradespeople that had core values that America was founded on. And it's just the what I believe is very soulful. And so I decided to come out of my failed retirement and come to Baker. So I've been here about 2.5 years, 2 years, 3 months, and have enjoyed getting to know this business model, understanding how this business works. I certainly don't know everything about construction. Probably that's my biggest attribute is knowing what I don't know. But I do know how to make sure I go find those subject matter experts and put myself out there on these projects and learn from the guys that are actually doing the hard work.
Well, that is awesome. I mean, we're going to have to go back through a lot of that on how you ended up there. And we can come across a, you know, Microsoft certified systems engineer. I passed a couple of those classes, and then I can firmly say we're probably aging ourselves, but I was a Compaq certified replacement tech for the warranties, so I could replace Compaq parts and ship them back and get us paid for them. So yeah,
the warranty program.
Yes. Yeah, the warranty program that then when HP took it over was a little bit different, but we could talk offline about what that mass migration tool was, but I think I may have used it because I did. That's what I used to do. And the hardest thing was getting all that Active Directory stuff moved from one place to another and not missing anything. And it was like, why hasn't somebody made it? Oh, look, somebody made a tool. So that is really cool. And I think just given you came up through the ranks of the bits and bytes and the bolts, nuts and bolts of it. But then also it's interesting because, you know, dentistry, very different, you know, than where you ended up going. But there's got to be some golden threads we can pull through. Before we dive into that, though, tell people, like, what is Baker Construction these days? Like, how would you describe them?
Yeah, so we are the largest concrete construction company in the nation. We build structures that are, I'm just in awe all the time with the structures we build, from, you know, multi-level residential commercial buildings to liquefied natural gas plants, nuclear facilities, stadiums. So, you know, Titan State, like just amazing. There's such a gamut of the things that Baker builds. And I never realized just how big a part of a budget a project like an LNG plant, how much concrete is the budget. And so that's been just an amazing world to piece back and peel back and understand. But yeah, we're the largest. I believe we're the best, or I know we're the best, and we got the best people, bar none. And we're privately held. And I think that's what gives us a little bit the values that they're above my head. I look at them every day, that the Baker family, especially DLB, Dan Baker, put forth in the foundation of this company has just been phenomenal. So it I remember when I got my the profile, you know, when you get all these request to come, you know, look and potentially interview for CTO roles, you get these profiles. And in Baker's profile was the word fun and humor. And that's the first time I'd ever seen a CV or a profile of an organization look like that. And my CV has that. We were just aligned from a value standpoint. I enjoy myself. I like having fun. I am who I am, and I'm not willing to change that for anyone. My core values. So it was good to come to a place where that really cared about the people.
Baker is a standout company. It's really funny. We have a few ties here that I didn't even realize. So one of the first places I ever spoke was the American Society of Concrete Contractors. I came from a masonry contractor. So I worked with a small masonry contractor in the mountains. We had a concrete division, but it was because we were the 800-pound gorilla in the, you know, Aspen Vale kind of area. So custom homes more, but you had to have, you know, that critical path concrete. So and it was there that someone from Baker introduced me to the idea of how you guys all train each other in safety together, that with competitors, et cetera. Like, I was like, you guys do your training centers together? And they're like, listen, we share people. We have to. Sometimes the people move, sometimes they don't. Sometimes we're, you know, but ultimately we don't just want our people to be safe. We want everybody to be safe.
It's our IIF program. Absolutely. I mean, EAD is the fundamental of who we are. We want everybody, you know, to go home to their family.
Yeah. You could see that. You could hear it. It was just it's a cool company model to be in. And so now, looking back over all these other industries, and like you said, they have some similarities, but there are some differences. So, you know, what are some of the golden threads that have pulled all the way through all of them that, you know, you can kind of provide some wisdom to people?
I think coming from, if you look back, obviously construction, especially with the margins, right? It's just not the barrel of an oil. I mean, a barrel of oil. It's definitely lower margins. That was an adjustment, right? To understand the business model here, but to also understand, like, it's a labor intensive, it's a people intensive business. And so the focus hasn't been on the digital age or digital transformation like other industries have. And so to me, that was an opportunity. I feel like it also skipped, the construction industry skipped some of that past 10 to 15 years of, you know, the trend of going to the cloud or, you know, SaaS. I mean, all of that kind of, you go through these trends that the technology industry, the Bay Area, usually puts you through. But it's kind of like construction looked at some of it and was like, yep, you know, and I think in some sense that was valuable because it just got you, it got you to not spend on bullshit. And now we've been catapulted into this AI world where there are things that are financially, you can swallow it, but that can get you good big gains on help improve efficiency of a business, our processes that are out there that these construction projects are facing. So I'm actually, you know, in the other industries I was in, I had to go through this whole trend thing. And, you know, when Gartner said this and Gartner said that, and you got my opinions of that whole situation, but doesn't look like the construction industry acted like a little, what do you call it? Like when somebody pulls your chain, like you can't get these industry tech people to pull the construction chains. And so, but now I think it is a pinnacle moment for, we didn't spend the money on all that stuff. Now we're looking at these startups that are focused on the construction industry. My goal is to, with a mutually valuable relationship, two-way relationship, arm them with the knowledge from our subject matter experts, our guys that are in place finish, our project engineers, our PMs, arm them with their knowledge so they can go build us the best products. And so I really like that we're kind of skipped some of that and we're into this space where we can really take advantage of the things that are coming out right now with agentic models, with LLMs, with agents. I think it's going to be amazing.
Yeah. I mean, so it's funny because a lot of us have been around, you know, I've been around the industry now for about 10 years. And it's funny, there was this chase the shiny object in pockets. I think there were larger groups that stayed away from it. And I had a friend, and I'll have to give him credit for this one, but he called it innovation theater a lot. There was a lot of innovation theater early on of, oh, we're doing this. And then you'd get under the covers and you'd find out, yeah, we're doing it on stage at a show. And we have a director of innovation and they play with really cool things. But like you said, the fundamental timing of the SaaS world coincided with, you know, the crash, and construction is always a laggard. So we lagged in that crash, and we also aren't as an industry as like oil and gas has a few big winners. You know, there's, and it's a fully integrated group. They're pulling it out of the ground, piping it, and refining it in many cases all on their own. That's not how jobs are built, right? You just said it. You're the concrete portion of the job, but you're working with steel, and you're working with, you know, finishing and mechanical and electrical and plumbing. And it just was like this puzzle that Silicon Valley couldn't figure out. And
I think too, though, what you don't have, because what I've learned, and maybe somebody could change my member, I'm not fixed on knowing anything. Like, I'm the junior, I'm the baby in this industry, but you also didn't have large companies, because construction, I believe, from what I understand, is so geographically local that you don't have a lot of the companies that have IT directors or CIOs and CTOs. They didn't put those roles in their, you know, executive teams because they were so local. They weren't a large corporation. We were over $3 billion companies. So, you know, so I think because in oil and gas, everybody's a CIO, everybody's a CTO. And so there aren't that many here. Now you see as the construction companies start getting bigger, they're starting to put these roles together. So it was very nomadic. And so I think that's why the Bay Area or the tech industry couldn't get their hands deep into this industry, because it was so bifurcated, so many different people, but not these C-level executives that they could go ping or talk to. A lot more people to talk to than that. But I mean, of course, you have the Autodesks and the Bluebeams of the world and the Trimbles of the world that are large software companies, but still have, I believe, a way to go and a sense of maturity in regards to road mapping. Like, I get very frustrated talking to software companies. I need a roadmap. What functionality is coming out that I'm paying X amount of money? We're a large company. We're paying a lot of money for software. What functionality is coming down on that roadmap? How is it actually going to either help my guys decrease their expense, increase their revenue, or improve their margins? How's it going to help us avoid write-downs, get better write-ups for the right things, and serve our customers better? So it's hard to get an understanding of what the roadmaps are in this space. The new AI companies, different story, but the ones that have been around for a while, it's hard to understand.
Well, and it's a product of exactly what you're saying. Like, this is what's so cool. It's kind of like a walk down memory lane of going through it. So when I went to the masonry company, I came from outside. I came from the ski resort world and building software for ski resorts and ERPs for ski resorts, and then working for a large publicly traded company that then was bought and dissolved. Y'all can hear that on another show. But when I got here, I took over for a 40-year job cost accountant who became the IT person. And he became it because he was good at it. He could handle writing crystal reports into the Sage 300 CRE database to get information out of it, and knew what the heck a computer was. And he met me and he was like, wow, you do this at a level I didn't understand. And I was like, well, we're in the mountains. Like, I didn't know that this was endemic, but you're right. It was endemic in the industry. And I remember my first foray out there being like, if I meet one more construction company's IT person that was the boss's fishing buddy, I'm going to lose my mind, because they just don't, like, they aren't fun. Like, I lived and breathed that world and everything to do with it, my whole career, like, that's what I cared about. And these people didn't have that. And
well,
so
that's why some of the PMs, right? Some of the PMs and PEs that we have had to become IT people. Yeah. We have 400, 600 projects going at one time. You know, I can't have enough IT technology people out there supporting every project.
Nope.
So they had to learn, you know, how to get a cradle point, how to get an ISP.
Yeah.
They put it on their credit card, or, you know, then when Starlink came, like, and I'm like, whoa, we need enterprise agreement there. I can negotiate better deals. Like, so it's very nomadic and getting the thought around, hey, we're a large enterprise. These are the things. The other thing is like doing mandates for cybersecurity. Like that's a whole piece, right? The word mandate of you have to take this cybersecurity training. It is like a requirement is like, you're going to make my guys do what? And I'm like, oh my God, like, it's just, it's a thing, right? But we're being attacked on a regular basis that we have to defend ourselves.
So. Yeah, we saw this. It was like, unfortunately, then the tail was wagging the dog. Like we didn't have a large contingent of, and I still don't believe that we have enough of a large contingent of truly, you know, chief information, chief technology, truly foundational in the tech itself. We're seeing this next gen be a lot about the BIM and the VDC folks because those tools were evolving so fast. So they knew how to use them. So they rise up. And again, they're wonderful people, but they're operational technology, right? They're not IT. And you need both of those because you do need cybersecurity. And, you know, they're looking at CMMC right now and FedRAMP and the stuff getting pushed down on us. And we got to be ready for it. So it's interesting because those things were going on and you're right. I mean,
yeah, the IT world didn't, that trend didn't hit.
No.
Right. I'm glad you, wow, that's, I didn't even think about that. That was a trend of like 6 years ago where everything was IT, OT. And I'm like, where's OT?
They don't under, I mean, I'm not kidding you. Before I came to Bluebeam, I was doing a lot of work with the associations like MCAA, NECA, SMACNA, some of those, and we literally found that out. And I was going to technology committees and talking to them about what it meant to be an IT versus an OT and why you have a CIO and you have a CTO, or you have a CIO that has a technology person that, you know, like it's, you know, simple. IT is plumbing and security, and OT is weaponization and using it for the business. And you need both, right? And you need that. Oh, we've been with that, and that is really far behind here in construction, and it has created it. And you listed off a lot of the companies. You're absolutely right, and I'll go one bit further than just your, you know, product roadmap. Why do you exist? What is it you want to do, and why? If you think about a Microsoft, I know why they exist. I know generally where they're going to go, and I kind of trust that they're going to get there. Amazon the same, Google the same. Like, we know what these groups are going to do. We don't really have that in our world in a maturity level yet. And I would say that pretty ubiquitously. And it's something we've got to work on.
Even in other industries, it drives me crazy that we spend most of our money on what some organizations called shared services or support services, meaning I spend a lot of money on ERP, right? And to me, those are, and human capital management systems, those are like core foundational, like that we shouldn't spend the most of our technology budget on those core company processes. We should be spending the core of our money on the part of the business that generates revenue. And so it's super, but very few companies can flip that because these companies that do ERP, supply chain, HR, finance, inventory, they found a way to capitalize that corner and charge you a lot of money to do that shit. When it's the standard process across, you onboard someone, you move somebody, you offboard somebody, you purchase something, you receive it, you pay for it. Like these are like processes that are the same in every company. And so I hope we get to a place in construction where we are focused, especially with this new age of technology coming out, where most of our time and effort is being spent on the stuff that's going to generate revenue and make the jobs of the people out on the ground building these structures, make their jobs easier. That's my favorite. I think a couple of weeks ago, I was in Denver. I went to 8 projects and it was so amazing to see. Just ideas were popping in my head. Like I hope a PE or PM like never go back to the Connex. Like never go back to the trailer. If they were out there with the guys on like all that time, making sure the quality of the job for our customers was where they spent their time, where they spent their effort, talking to our coworkers, coming up with ideas of different ways to plan logistics or so on and so forth, rather than going back all the way to the Connex report quantities, or all the way back to the Connex to do time entry, like all these mainstay processes that they have to keep going back and forth. I watched a guy go from the ninth floor down to the Connex to simply order something that they needed. I want him to stay up on the ninth floor and just push the button and say, this is what I need. And he gets a quote and it comes back. And on the ninth floor, he gets it and he knows what's going to be delivered. That's where I'm going.
Well, and that is what we have lacked, is the leadership to push that. And I've been saying this over and over, that the onus is on the industry itself to push back and say, this is not what we will accept anymore. Because when I got in, they were willing to accept it. I had the same experience. I was sending people, I didn't realize that people were driving back to the office to get folders, to cost code things, or to approve invoices. And I was like, whoa. And the interesting thing was, at that point in time, like, I couldn't get any help. I made a name for myself because I figured out how to use a terminal services app to push, an app to my desk, to my phone. And I'll be honest with you, because I like to have fun too. And I like to ride my bike, and I was riding my bike between 5 and 6 o'clock at night. My job cost accountant, it would be locked up, and he couldn't do job cost accounting. So I went onto the phone, made it go there so I could kill these pervasive SQL connections, and then the job cost would run. And one day the COO asked me, like, how did you do that? And I'm like, well, I did this thing, and it's just, you know, this. And he goes, could you push this, this, and this to that? Because our guys are dying getting that done.
Watching the application out there, like, just spinning in the forever hourglass.
Well, just having to drive to the office. To the office to do it. And I was like, you know what? I can. And I could put it on an iPad. And that got out in the industry. And people were like, what? And that's when I realized the industry is not, never really drew that line of what we will accept. And it's really interesting to see you come in. This is now, well, the audience knows why I've been chasing you for so long, because that's what we need. We need the voices of reason that have the technological advancement to guide us. Because people listening, especially because a lot of those big companies listen to the show, and I'm at one of them, I'm actually not upset with you. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, without clear leadership from us, what did you think was going to happen? This is what happens.
Well, we have to tell them what we want. I mean, I think that's, you know, I've been on the software side when I was with Compaq and HP, and you know, and I came from industry verticals. So what happens is you get in these tech companies and you think you know what the customer needs and what everybody needs, but you lose sight of really what's happening on a regular basis. And so that's why my goal of giving them intellectual property information, giving them access to our coworkers, so that their product stays where we need it to go, to move it forward. And so it's a back and forth, and it's going to take us a little bit while. The other thing is, and maybe I'm just not tapped into it, is kind of a coalition or a collaboration of technologists across the industry. I've been going to this construction technology, advancing construction technology. That seems to be, but you know, in other industries, you kind of have a club of CTOs that are the ones that continue to help push the industry forward or the tech companies forward. I don't know. It's interesting. I go to the Bay Area at least twice a year just to stay in touch with my contacts there on what's going on the leading edge. But in Southeast Florida, you have some startups starting up in this industry that it's like the little Silicon Valley of construction. And so with these companies like Subbase and Document Crunch and Trunk Tools and Vendor Plan that's coming out, like, they've got some tech happening down there in the Southeast Florida space that you're like, okay, let's get them moving forward, but let's also advise them on what we need. And they need to be willing to listen and respond. So it's super exciting. I find it a fascinating industry to be a part of, even more so because we haven't become so Wall Street-like. I think that's my aversion. I don't want to be a Wall Street puke again. It, having to answer to the analysts.
No, answer to the street that doesn't care. I love that. And like you said, this is what's kept me here and in love with it. I'm going to connect two things. All of those craftspeople out in the field that are actually like, this is a world where they do work. They build the world around us. That's in the end, we get paid to do that. And it's on their backs. And so they should have fun. They should have a better experience overall. So you have that like driver and goal. And then you have this puzzle that you're still trying to put together. Because, I mean, you'll laugh, but when I got in this business, I left the masonry company to be a consultant. And the first thing I had to teach people was you have to know your requirements. To know your requirements, you have to know your business. To know your business, you have to map your processes.
My coworkers, I hear you say that, are going to be like, oh, there she goes again. I mean, literally documenting your business goals and your business requirements for an output. Like, you've got to put in the requirements to understand, this is how I want something to work. This is what I'm trying to achieve with this particular solution. The business requirements, the functionality requirements, the technical requirements that follow, you have to have all of that documented to make sure you're going to achieve what you're actually set out for. And that's a hard one. The BA role, what I call, I'm sure you know, business analyst role, that sits in technology to document those requirements is so important. And a lot of companies don't have them. And so, or nor do they have their own internal PMOs. And so you really have to get methodical around delivering solutions.
I mean, so I've made a career in this industry, and I can tell you there's people out there who've come up to me and go, I didn't know what a business analyst was. And then I knew I wanted to be it. And I heard you say it and I went and did it. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. And then I had to have a whole panel on CIOs, CTOs, OT, IT, and say, listen, because you run construction projects and you're a project manager does not mean you know how to run an IT project. They are completely different things, because like one goes on forever. One has a start and stop. I mean, sure, we might hand it over to our service, but let's not worry about that. We hand the building over to the CO and we walk out. That's how they were treating technology projects. I'm like, no, you never walk out. It's not done.
Software you got to deal with. That's right. That's right.
You've got releases. You've got these things. So like the fundamentals were missing, but that's been so fun to watch for me. Like you're coming in at the point where we're still maturing. We are not there and we need more of it. And by the way, there are some of those clubs out there, like groups of CTOs and CIOs. The thing that I've found is they're very horizontally based. And then there was this fear of competition, like especially in technology, like if I share what I'm doing, it's my secret sauce. And we had to be like, listen, that's not your secret sauce. It never will be. It's going to be built into the DNA of the software anyway and get out there. Your strategic advantage is your culture. It's your growth.
It's a way to build concrete structures. I mean, yes. At the end of the day, everybody's like, oh, well, don't tell anybody you're using that AI. I'm like, really, that's not what I'm competing with my competitors on.
Nope.
What I'm competing on my competitors is that I believe Baker can build a better concrete structure than our competitors.
Yep.
It has nothing to do with the software I put in their hands.
And
that may help me on margin. That may help me on, you know, avoiding write downs or averting risk. But, you know, in a sense of documenting it and making sure our customers know what's going on out there, the GCs. But, you know, we're better at building structures. Not because we have a piece of AI.
You're exactly right. And that also crossing over. So it was like, you know, you'd see groups of mechanicals get together. You see groups of electricals get together. And also, like, be honest, we have union, we have open shop. So there was separation. And I think we're about to hit that point where people will understand that all those separations and all those things are true and those stay. I'm not saying get rid of any of that. I'm saying that the technology people, especially CIOs and this CTO idea, can cross over and work with one another and talk to one another and share, because again, the industry as a whole is probably who will benefit from that. And that's what we need.
I mean, I think you're definitely right. We're better together. And the reason we're better together is because we're more powerful together. When we have these software companies that are doing so many massive acquisitions, and then they're not, and then they don't converge their roadmaps in a way that serves us as their customer properly. So, you know, there's a big acquisition that just happened with Trimble and Document Crunch. And so, you know, my question to that is, well, where is that going to be? You know, that's like a contract management system, contract assessment system. Where's that going to be in your product roadmap? And where am I going to, people going to access it? And what versions do you, I think, more powerful as a single voice together to push these software and technology companies to deliver what we need so that we don't have hiccups, so that we're not waiting to be able to leverage that functionality and get value out of what we're paying for you to acquire.
I fully agree. And you know, I came in very hot on like, listen, acquisitions is the way it goes. This is what happens. 90% of all software technology companies exit through that. They don't exit through IPO. You know, some of them, a lot of them fail, a few of them IPO. The majority of them end up in either some sort of acquisition or I would call it a lifestyle-based product that, you know, is a niche and it stays where it is. But we haven't been there historically. It hasn't been. And I think you're right. If you eye that one up, I'm, you know, little teaser to the future. I got it. You know, I got word that Josh Levy will be coming on to talk about it. And that talk about that acquisition, everybody listening knows, I know Josh really well. We've been a fan of Crunch since the beginning and him. But you're right. These new startups, these new companies that are evolving, like, it is the time to teach them what those roadmaps coming together look like, how that we do rely on their software. We a hiccup in a different industry is just, I have to open a few things. But like you said, a hiccup to you is I got to come 9 floors down, go back into the trailer, do something and come back. And it's also something I think we should be putting out there as IT leadership is that is what I don't want. Like, go out. It's so funny. There's this whole lean movement and Gemba walking and going out and watching the work happen. I want IT, I want OT to embrace that and go do that. And I want, like you said, the investment in business analysts. It is a huge return for the continuity.
Huge return and a huge risk avoid where you're, you know, work so long on delivering a solution for one of your business processes, and then you just miss. And you don't have a whole lot of money to miss with. And so I think it's really important. The other thing is around the software, the solutions that are coming out is, and the software companies is this, you know, the customer success role that software companies have. Like I have not yet seen, not even in just this world, even in other industries, a company that is good at customer success. Just haven't seen it. And I've been a lot of places. I get around. So, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I continue to push. Good customer success is a whole different world. And so don't just put a role in there in place and call somebody customer success manager if you're not truly going to be focused on customer success. So it'll be interesting to see how that evolves too.
I agree. And I think we're in a really unique time, as you said, on what AI is capable of doing and what it's enabling. Is I've been talking about this, like everyone out there in the software world, it's not software as a service anymore. It's service and a software or service as a software. It is now more than ever, almost anybody can build anything. And it's about your ability to articulate and understand how the tool can make business work, what standard operating procedures look like, what good workflow looks like, what complete looks like, and what adoption is. Those are the things that the software companies that exist now, those who can use that and can, and by the way, guys, you're sitting on years of this data and expertise and young and hungry people who have an industry full of people who want to tell you stories, who want to tell you about their day, who want to walk you through what they do. Those two things together make gold.
And it's going to harness it. It's going to harness it.
So we're getting to that point. I'm going to have to wrap it up. What are some words of wisdom? What would you like others in this industry that, you know, to glean from you and learn?
I don't know that I can say. I'm new to this one. Obviously not new to technology. but new to the construction industry, only 2 years in, I don't know that I would have a whole lot of wisdom that I think I should impart on people that have been in this industry for a long time. What I would say or maybe request is a continuous level of conversation and collaboration and interaction so that we can together learn from not only this industry, but most importantly, other industries and what they're doing and how they're moving forward, the level of innovation that you're seeing out there. I think failures is something I would, my words of wisdom is share your failures. I'll share mine so that we can both avoid it and get to the place where our industry is doing really well in the core things that we need to be doing well in. And then the other thing is listen. My only word of wisdom is to listen to your coworkers, listen to the guys that are out there doing the work, that are building structures, and understand what they really think is valuable and not. That's my only word. I'm just really to listen. That's why I'm headed out to the north next week. I'll be in Michigan and multiple places, probably about 6 jobs next week. And that's my goal is I'm focused this year on a couple of key roles that sit out on these construction projects and figuring out how I can minimize the level of administrative effort that they have to do on a regular basis so that they can be out there with the guys and make sure the quality of our build and our structures are the best we can do.
We waste so much of their time in paperwork instead of keeping their eyes on the job and their eyes on what's getting done and using that expertise. Their expertise is not in technology. Their expertise is in concrete and building structures.
They're kinesthetic people. So to put them in paper and make them sit in an office and do this, they went into construction for a reason. They didn't want to be sitting in a corporate office for a reason. And so how do we make sure they can stay out there focused on the stuff they really want to do?
I will echo and just say that what I hear in that, and I think is really powerful for everybody out there listening, is this is a CIO, CTO that is going out and meeting people where they are on the job. There is literally no way to know what to do if you don't do that. And none of us at any level are above that. You've got to go do that and experience the work where it is so that you can go back to doing what we do. So it's great words of wisdom. It was totally worth the wait and the chase to get you. So thank you so much for sitting down with me today.
Wow, I appreciate you. I helped land an RMD table off with the crane. So it's super fun. I can't wait to get back out there. So thank you for having me.
And I love that you have fun with it. That is a great word of wisdom. This industry can be fun and it should be fun. So we'll see you out there soon, hopefully.
Sounds good.
Thank you for tuning in today to Geek Out for our interview with Jennifer Homan. To read all our news stories, learn more about our guests, and to listen to this show, visit thecontechcrew.com. This is the Contech Crew signing out. Until next time, enjoy the ride and geek out.